there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, Wendy here. You're listening to Science Versus, and you better dust off your hard hat. Because lately, a few of us have been obsessing over a brand new Netflix documentary. It's a doco that is shaking up the science world.
It's one of the biggest moments in human history.
It's called Unknown Cave of Bones, and it's all about this recently discovered species called Homo naledi. It walked the Earth hundreds of thousands of years ago, and it's a hominin, which means it's on our family tree. It's like a very distant cousin. And in this doco, they made some amazing claims about what this strange ape-like creature got up to. Claims that kind of rewrite what it means to be human.
Where do we come from? Where are we going? Why are we the way we are?
This doco has been a smash hit. It was the second most watched film on Netflix in the first week of its release, with 6.5 million views. This is for a nerdy documentary. We're not talking about Bridgerton the movie here. I mean, it's amazing. But the thing is, while people were kind of frothing over this doco, not everyone loved what they saw.
No, I mean, it's frustrating to watch.
Well, I mean, I don't think I have a colleague that wasn't astounded by it and wasn't frustrated by it.
Now, these scientists might not sound pissed, but they are. It's just how scientists talk. And I mean, things got really nasty when it came to this doco. There were flame wars on social media that led to one senior scientist blocking colleagues and friends. Nerdy YouTube videos were analysing the controversy. And for typically subdued academics, this has basically become a scientific shitstorm.
It's such a flimsy house of cards built narrative that you pull any one of those cards out and the entire thing falls down.
You say what you want to say, and you know that when the fact checkers come out, people just won't pay attention.
So, pay attention, because today, the fact checkers are coming out. We are finding out exactly what is going on here. Supervising producer Joel Werner, you have been swimming in this controversy for months now. What first, attracted you to this story?
Yeah, look, you know, I haven't seen anything quite like the reaction that this film has got, like, in the scientific community.
Is the whole doco, a hoax? Where do we begin?
That's what we're going to find out. I wanted to dig into exactly why everyone was so up in arms about this film. And I guess to start, we have to start with the man who sits at the center of the film, a guy called Lee Berger.
So I'm Lee Berger, and I'm an explorer in residence at the National Geographic Society. I have some other titles.
I was hoping you were going to say explorer in residence, because I interview a lot of people in my job, but I've never heard a title that's quite as cool as explorer in residence.
it's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
If they see me, I'm not doing my job.
So Lee Berger is no stranger to controversy. Like, just a few weeks ago, he sent two actual fossils from South Africa into space on a Virgin Galactic space flight.
What? Why? Why did he do this?
Look, there was no scientific reason for this. It was just a bit of a publicity stunt. Lee got the permits he needed to do this, but the scientific community have been up in arms about the decision.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's this other version of Lee who's like a really important scientist and has been making groundbreaking discoveries for years, like what his team found in the cave that's at the center of this documentary. So the cave in Cave of Bones is found in what's called the Rising Star Cave System, and it's just outside of Johannesburg in South Africa.
And now the cave is real, right?
Yeah.
The cave system is real.
That's no one's denying the cave. Like, the cave is 100% real. And also, like, these fossilized bones that they find in the cave, they're real too. Okay, so no controversy there.
Thank you. Okay, excellent. That's, yeah.
But the thing you need to know about the cave is it's really difficult to get into. Like, this isn't your kind of family-friendly cave tour with the steps carved into the rock and a cute little hard hat. This is like proper squeezing through super tight spaces kind of caving.
Every part of it's difficult. You are compressing your body, turning sideways.
It's hugely physically demanding. So at points, they're like crawling on their stomach with their arms out in front of them. At other times, they're scrambling up these ridges that have these drops on either side that Lee was telling me if they fell down, they'd probably die. And then at one point, they have to squeeze their way down this super narrow 12-meter vertical drop.
And once you're through that, which is terrible in every way, you pass through a passageway that's about 7 or 8 meters long into the beautiful Dinaletti chamber.
So this Dinaletti chamber is kind of like the stage on which a lot of the action in the film Cave of Bones takes place. And the chamber itself is located like deep within the Rising Star cave system. It's a part of the cave that was first brought to Lee's attention by a few people who'd been exploring there. And when they first got into the Dinaletti chamber, their minds were blown because they saw littered everywhere. Can you guess?
A cave of bones?
Bones. Yes. There were bones everywhere. And, you know, these bones turned out to be from this new hominin species, Homo naledi. And so the explorers, they took a bunch of photos and they showed them to Lee. And I asked Lee, like, how soon after seeing those photos did he realize that this was something that we'd never seen before?
I would love to say that, you know, it was after we brought all the great team together and scientists from around the world. But to be perfectly honest, probably within the first week of getting material out. But you got to remember, to be fair, by the end of the first week, we had the richest hominin site ever discovered in the history of the search for human origins in Africa.
In the history of the search for human origins in Africa. Wow. And I think it might help as a bit of a zoom out here is that over the last, I want to say, 10, 15 years, however long I've been a science journalist even, I feel like the human and hominid tree has just been expanding. Every couple of years, there's these headlines of like, new hominid discovered, new one. Look, this one's got a weird jaw. Look, this one's got long legs. Look, this one. And some of them are our direct lineage and some of them like pop off the family tree and then like die down. And so how big, when he says this is the biggest site of like, how important is this?
So Homo naledi is like a newly discovered species of hominin, and no one, like not even the scientists who have been critical of the film are challenging that. Like no one's challenging that. But what makes this site so important is the sheer volume of bones that they're finding there. So there are thousands of Homo naledi bones in this space. Okay. And like there's a Neanderthal site in Europe that's kind of comparable, but compared to hominin sites in South Africa, they have bone counts in the hundreds, not the thousands. So the scale here is just mind-blowing for scientists.
Right. If you're going to make a doco about those caves, you'd call it like caves of a couple of bones. But this one got to be called like cave of bones.
You might call it like cave of throw me a bone.
Okay. So how many Homo naledi are in there, do they think?
Well, I asked Lee that question.
We are conservatively probably at about 35, 36 individuals and that we have out. We've left lots in there and we have hardly touched this space.
And so Lee and his team are sitting there and they've got like these 30-something naledi bodies deep inside this cave. And they start wondering, like, what are they all doing there? Like, how did they even get into this part of the cave?
And so, yeah, it's weird because it's so hard to get into.
Right? And so one night over beers, they start talking about what possibly could have happened.
I remember sitting, we were sitting at a nearby pub one night, you know, after the work was done. And these were really exciting and emotional days. And that's when I and a couple of others raised the question that I think was sitting in everyone's mind, that was, this might be some sort of mortuary situation, that this might have been where bodies had been disposed of by other Naledi.
So what Lee's saying here is that Homo Naledi was dragging the bodies of its dead deep inside this cave system and disposing of them there. And the way he got to this idea was because he just kept finding so many Homo Naledi fossils and so few remains of anything else in this space. Like, there was a couple of fossilized wing bones. There's a baboon tooth in there, like, randomly. Then they saw something in the cave that made them dream even bigger. And this is where things start to get really interesting.
In 2018, we discovered holes dug into the floor that had bodies in them covered by dirt that had come from that hole.
So Lee and his team shifted from thinking that Homo Naledi was dragging the bodies of their dead and just dumping them back in this deep part of the cave, to thinking that they were deliberately digging holes to put the dead bodies into. That's something on a completely different level. They're burying their dead.
At that point, even thinking that about a hominid with a tiny brain like this, it was just unheard of.
Why is that? Like, why was it unheard of to say something like that?
Okay, so there's a few reasons. Firstly, to the best of our knowledge, the oldest known human burial, so we're talking Homo sapiens here, it's from Kenya, and it's estimated to be from about 78,000 years ago. Now, what Lee and his team are proposing is that Homo naledi was burying its dead around 240,000 years ago. So that's like 160,000 years older than what we currently think is like the oldest evidence for a human burial. But also, it's not Homo sapiens doing this, it's Homo naledi. And remember what Lee said, it's got a brain the size of a large orange, right? A brain that's one third the size of ours.
And oranges don't bury their dead. Is that what you're trying to tell me? No, it's a big head because we have a big brain. We do special things.
And that's the thing, up until now, no one's ever suggested that something with a brain the size of an orange would bury its dead. This is this idea of human exceptionalism, right? That our big brains make us special and we do special things with those big brains, like burying our dead.
And so recently we did the unthinkable and said we have found graves. Now that may not sound, you know, striking to your listeners, but until the moment we said that a few months ago, that was sacrosanct to human behavior. That was about one of the few last things we had left that we could separate ourselves from other animal cultures. You know, we'd lost tools, we'd lost mourning, we'd lost all this other stuff, but boy, we had deliberate mortuary practices and particularly burial as our gig. And we're saying we think we've got that too. That's a big deal.
The idea that something with a much smaller brain than us could be also engaging in these complex cultural practices, it kind of rewrites everything. It kind of just like wipes the slate clean.
It rewrites what we think a brain can do and the sizes of brains that are allowed to do that. It rewrites what's special about humans.
And also like the nature of cultural practice. Like maybe it's not something that's connected to brain size. Like we'd have to rethink the origins of culture if we accept that Naledi is burying its dead. But the thing is, it's not just about the graves. There are other cultural practices that Lee claims to have identified Naledi doing at Rising Star.
That's right. That's right. In the doco, they said that Homo Naledi was making art on the caves.
Yeah, so this is when, like, Lee's made his way into this deepest part of Rising Star, and he starts walking down the passageway that leads to the Naledi chamber. And as he's walking along, He notices something unusual on the walls.
I looked to the left and there were these etchings. There were these marks. You know, the first thing I see is this cross. And then I saw a box. And then a triangle, a perfect equilateral triangle. These aren't natural shapes.
And in the doco, there's a lot of talk about how this is also quite shocking.
Yeah.
Seeing rock art here.
Exactly. It's just like the burials claim. So, like, Lee is arguing that these engravings were made way earlier than what we currently think is the earliest rock art, like 200,000 years earlier.
Okay.
And, you know, again, there's debate about whether other large brain hominins, so like Neanderthals, have a similar brain size to us, and we still debate whether Neanderthals made rock art. And so Lee and his team are arguing that, again, something with this tiny brain is doing this thing that we've, up until now, only thought that large brain creatures, large brain hominins, do.
Bang, Naledi drops in on this. You know, I think that Naledi has shocked all of us.
So, fast forward to 2023, and Lee and his team start revealing some of these ideas to the world. Mm-hmm. So back in June, they announced their findings in a series of what we call preprints. So preprints are research papers where there's been no peer review, like no independent stress test of the science by experts from outside of Berger's team.
Yes, this is a naughty thing to do if when you're...
It's a little bit unconventional for like paleoarchaeology and paleoanthropology.
Unconventional is a polite way to put it. Like if you're a scientist and there's no deep urgency to get your research out there, get it peer reviewed.
Exactly. And there'd been a little bit of talk on the grapevine that these papers were coming and that they were going to be published as preprints. Like Andy Harries heard about this before they came out.
I mean... Lee doesn't keep secrets very well. I mean, he just quite openly tells people about stuff. So, yeah, I mean, people are always aware that things are coming. There's three papers. I mean, one deals with the idea that Homo Naledi buried its dead. The other one deals with the idea that Homo Naledi created rock art. And the third one is more of a just sort of chat about the issue of, you know, whether we should infer symbolic behaviours and those sorts of things that we normally attribute to modern humans, maybe Neanderthals, to something that has, you know, a small brain.
So on the very same day that the preprints were released, there's this big press event that launches a whole media campaign based around this new set of findings.
National Geographic will be publishing a book about these findings titled Cave of Bones. And Lee's findings will also be shown in Netflix's Unknown Cave of Bones, which premieres on July 17th as one of the films in a four-part
documentary. So a whole media campaign launches, all based on these fresh ideas that Naledi buried its dead, that Naledi made rock art, ideas that hadn't been stress-tested by other experts. And So the scientific community gets really pissed off about this.
Well, I mean, I don't think I have a colleague that wasn't astounded by it and wasn't frustrated by it.
I really wanted to hear what Andy sounded like pissed. It's very similar to what he sounds like not pissed, but I feel like that checks out.
So Lee and his team had initially tried to release these findings in the more traditional, like peer-reviewed way. But when I interviewed him, he told me that they couldn't get the papers published, quote, in a timely manner. End quote.
Homo Naledi's waited 200,000 years. But a couple of months, maybe even a year.
Exactly right. Like a bunch of people I spoke to when I was reporting this story, they were kind of suspicious that Lee was rushing the publication of the science to keep up with this media campaign. Here's Andy Harries.
I think obviously the impending timeline of the Netflix documentary and the book and everything probably had something to do with that.
So Lee denies these claims, but while all of this is going on, we finally get to hear what independent experts, what the scientists think about the preprints. And guess what? They're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the journal that published the preprints had invited scientists to peer review the work. Jamie Hodgkins was one of the scientists who took a close look at the evidence for Naledi burying their dead. And she's also an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Colorado, Denver.
So I was getting frustrated because the press release was out, it was going all over. And meanwhile, this narrative is out there without anything checking it.
So like one question that we often ask for stories like this, if you had to give the burger science a grade, how would you grade this science?
An F. Well, no. I mean, the site itself is amazing. So if the question is how...
The science in this paper, like if you had to give this paper a grade.
Yeah, I would fail it.
And she did, it sounds like.
Yeah, Jamie's like clearly not pulling punches when she talks about this work.
I mean, seriously, it's really amateur in how it's written. It's amateur in how it's organized and presented. And the citations are really concerning. Like, I just don't understand how it's so poorly cited.
To find out why Jamie and a bunch of other scientists have been so outraged by these claims from Lee Berger and his team, check out our full episode. To do that, you've got to search for Science Versus, so not Shots of Science Versus, which is what you're listening to now. You've got to look up Science Versus, that's Science VS, and then click on our episode, Why Fossil Nerds Are Pissed Right Now. Go, do it. I'm Wendy Zukerman. Back to you next time.